News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. Got on the phone Treasurer Michael Rarix. Michael Rarix is joining me this morning. So, Mike, first off, buddy, long time no see. How have you been?
Tom, I don't want to complain because there are a lot of people out there having a lot worse than I do. I have a job that I love. I'm able to do it remotely, and myself and my family are healthy.
All right.
That being said, I told you I'm not designed to sit in front of a computer all day. I would rather be out in public meeting my constituents. Would rather be sitting with you in studio.
Yeah. Hello. Of course, we intimidate the heck out of Robert, but other than that, it's great when you're in the studio. Robert asked to have his picture taken between Michael and I during the studios, and it looked like Mike and I were sorcerers and that Robert may have come from the Hobbit family.
I think you and I are above average, and Robert is probably perfectly happy with where he is.
Yeah, well, Michael and I are both pituitary cases, so what are you going to do? Hey, we weren't the only ones. Big Jim Thompson. I was talking about him last time I saw him. I was at the airport in Chicago, coming back from Michigan, Wisconsin, somewhere up there doing some work for a radio group up there. You could see Jim at the end of the concourse, so I get up close to him. I'm like, what are you doing? And we hit the bar. I was late for my flight to get back home because I didn't want to leave. And he was an interesting cat, and from a time when Illinois wasn't broke.
Yeah, Big Jim is part of the reason why I'm involved in politics. When I was finished my junior year in high school, I was selected to attend Boise State. I went there and entered a scholarship contest. You'd give a speech, and they'd give a $1,000 scholarship, and my family didn't have much money, so I wanted to win that prize. I won, and the night I got to deliver in front of all of Boise State was the night that Governor Thompson showed up. And he had been governor most of my life, so he was the only governor I really knew. I gave my speech. The kids applauded. I turned around, and there was Big Jim with his hand out to me, shook my hand and said, "Son, that was a great speech. You can give me a call anytime and write speeches for me." And as a kid from a small town of 800 people, I thought, oh, my God, I could write speeches for the governor.
Yeah.
He planted a seed in my mind. It took me a few years to come back around to it. But when I got elected to the Senate, I told that story to one of his former employees. He relayed it to the governor and set up a dinner for us. And years later, he claimed to remember that speech. I take that as a sign of a good politician. I don't believe he really did, but he was a very personable guy.
Right, 1977 to 1991, and I think what that represents is a dramatically different political environment than the one that currently exists.
It was one of the things I talked to him about, is how he worked as a Republican with a Democratic legislature to get things done. He was just very pragmatic. He said, hey, we're going to fight during the course of campaigns, we're going to put out our different vision, but after we're elected, it's our job to actually get things done. And I just feel like there are a lot of people today who just enjoy the fighting and the name calling, and once the election's over, it doesn't stop.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of blame being placed, a blame game being played. At the end of the day, we all run because we want to do something. We want the state to function and improve, and gridlock just doesn't seem to be the way to do that.
You did get some legislative assistance over the last few years when it comes to streamlining and making changes when it comes to restoring people's lost property. You have gotten that success, and that success has allowed you to set a record.
We did. Was very excited at a time when there's a lot of bad news out there with unemployment, with virus-related deaths, with racial fighting. We announced that in my term in office so far, we've now returned over $1 billion to people in the state of Illinois through unclaimed property, smashed a previous record. We're very excited about that. We took some time to celebrate, and then we started moving on to the next $1 billion we're going to return. But I like to point out to people, we couldn't do that ourselves. I came into office, inherited a system that was encumbered by paperwork. A lot of people wouldn't claim their money. And because I served in the General Assembly or the Senate, I went back to our chambers and said, we've got to improve this. And Democrats and Republicans, we work together to make it easier for people to claim money that belongs to them.
What was the old record, Michael?
Previously, it was about $700 million, and so we smashed out a nearly 50% increase in a five-year period.
What changes were made by the legislature that allowed this larger success in returning people's goods?
Well, people today are just more comfortable working online. They don't have a lot of information or paperwork laying around their houses. So one thing we had to do was allow for e-claiming or e-filing. We started moving things online. Another thing we did is we created a database match using state records to find people who have state property, to find their address, and just mail them checks. For smaller amounts, we realized a lot of people, they don't keep their phone records or their power bills from previous addresses. They told us they couldn't find them. Well, the internet has all kinds of information on people and their backgrounds. We now do a LexisNexis search, and if we can verify that someone lived at a previous address, we don't make them search through boxes of old bills to mail in to us. All these things have made it easier for people to claim their money. We've also changed the way we market it so that more people are hearing about it, and I think the results speak for themselves.
I used the online. I got one of those letters from the LexisNexis. I used the online. Now, there was a couple of times I had my finger on your phone number and getting ready to hit send. And I'm like, son of a... And then I realized those were the precautions to keep people from getting the stuff that was mine. And in short order, once I did the work, the check was on the way without the verification process because of, well, the items you just mentioned. It's like $120 or something like that. Still is my money, right? I mean, you know, and so my online experience was a lot better than my expectation was, and I think that's important.
Tom, I got tired of hearing people tell me, Treasure, you have my money. I'd say, great, we'd love to give it to you, but they would say, it's too much of a hassle, it's too much paperwork, go ahead and keep it. Well, I can't keep it, and it's not the right thing to do. And we know that when we return more money to your listeners and put it in their pockets, and they're able to spend it at local businesses or local restaurants, it does a lot more good for our state economy than it does sitting in a vault in Springfield. So we were happy to make those changes, happy to return more money to people here in the state.
I'm kind of curious. Do you have county-by-county records? Was there a county or two downstate that saw some really large sums of money? I'm curious.
You know, it's spread out around the state, but in Southern Illinois, I just looked up this morning, we've returned over $1 million to Williamson County, about 1.3 to Jackson County, about 400,000 Randolph. Washington was a little outside, so 450,000 for their size. So this money is being returned all over the state. There's money out there for everyone. We encourage people to go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov. Click on our database. We don't charge you anything to search it. We find about 1 in 4 people who go to our website find we have something that belongs to them.
All right. Mike, not long ago, you and I were talking about the financial resources that you had been using to help Illinois businesses. How has that process been progressing?
It's been going well. We've continued to sign up banks to participate in this. It's slowed down a little bit, but I think as this drags on, more and more businesses are impacted by the shutdown and the, we'll call it the slowdown. So we're constantly looking for new ways to help our constituents. We know there are people hurting. We ratcheted up efforts with unclaimed property during this pandemic because we know that people were losing their jobs, they were having their hours cut back, and we were looking for anything we could do to help put money in their pockets to get through these tough times.
Are you doing, is the program ongoing?
It's still ongoing. If there's people out there, they can go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov and check on our small business COVID-19 relief loan program. But we work through local banks. I'm the chief banker for the state of Illinois, but we don't have a state bank that you can show up to and get a loan from. We deposit money into local banks. And so you can start with whoever your local banker is and see if they participate.
Illinois Treasurer Michael Frerix is joining us this morning. You know, one of the biggest debates we're going to see between now and November, it's going to be the fair tax.
That's true. You know, we at the top of our ticket, we have Senator Dick Durbin running for re-election, but I don't anticipate that's going to be a big race. But I think you're going to see a lot of money spent on both sides educating people about the fair tax.
I've got to tell you, though, when I look at the ads, in particular the digital ads that I see, I can't help but think that there's a level of intellectual dishonesty. You say, you know, I don't know if you've seen this one. The graph comes up on the left, and it's a grocery store worker, right? And then it's a CEO of a company. Well, you didn't pick anybody else. Nobody picked a major league pitcher. Or no, it's the business people that are bad. And then you see 1.3, and they're not paying their fair share. But they talk about the rate. I mean, 4.95% of 50,000 is less than 4.9% of a million, or 250,000 where the break is. And I keep thinking with that presentation that there should be, I don't know, am I wrong? Am I off base?
Tom, if you're surprised that political advertising manipulates numbers and sometimes looks dishonest, then I don't know what ads you've been watching for other candidates out there. Both sides are going to attempt to put this issue in the best light possible. It's up to the voters to study this. I think that if you look around the country, you will see other states have a fair tax in place. The federal government has had progressive rates on their books for over 100 years. And in that time, we've seen fairly dramatic improvements in our U.S. economy. So I think this is a way of making sure that those who have done better in our economy pay a higher share of their income. They have a greater ability than that single mother out there making $30,000 a year. So the other side will have their arguments as well, but that's what democracy is about. We should have a debate, and people should follow the ads, but they should do a little extra homework and legwork themselves to make sure they understand the issues.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about this with the fair tax in the other states, because they do. I looked them up. I looked up Missouri and the other states that have a progressive tax. But those taxes, those states don't already have record taxing of their citizens. I mean, I talked to a woman this morning. She got a new permit for her mobile home. What had previously been $18 now costs $100, a 400% increase. You know, and so when you get to this, I mean, if you're already the most taxed, increasing taxes on anybody seems to be counterproductive and counterintuitive when it comes to growing the economy.
Well, and I think that's why, for a lot of people, the rates were set on the fair tax, and for a lot of people, they'll see a reduction or they'll see no increase. What this is about is making sure those who have done best over the last several decades, who've seen their income grow and grow, while others have seen their wages stagnate, will be paying more.
So what about, I know that there had been some controversy over some statements, and you'd gone out and clarified them when it comes to retirement income tax as part of the fair tax, that I think somewhere up and down the line said, well, something we should probably talk about. And then you came out. Can you tell me your stance on taxing retirement income, the state of Illinois, in relationship to the fair tax proposal?
Yeah, I have no plans, no efforts to tax retirement income. The governor and the General Assembly have passed their rates, and they don't apply to people's retirement income. What happened, though, was there's a group out there that has fought for years to reduce pension benefits for people. And they were arguing against this fair tax, and I pointed out sort of hypocrisy. So this is a way you could tax those absurd over six-figure government pensions. And someone from the Chamber of Commerce said, you know, that's the best argument I've heard for the fair tax. It hasn't convinced me to change my mind, but that's the best argument I've heard. It was something I said in response to another statement, and it was taken out of context and put on a lot of social media. But I've been doing this politics long enough that I get that, you know, there are some people out there that will take things out of context, that will try and manipulate them to try and scare voters. There is no plan to tax retirement income in the state of Illinois. Mike Frerichs is not supporting it. The General Assembly didn't do it. The real question is, do we want those who have done best in the economy to pay a little more while providing a little relief for those who really haven't seen a growth in their wages?
Treasurer Michael Frerichs, before I let you go, earlier in the hour, if you're just joining us, we were talking about the record $1 billion return in unclaimed property over the past 5 years. Now, I want to look at this, Mike, before I let you go this morning, for people who want to see if maybe they've got something there, or granddad does, or, you know, right, search for the entire family. It's interesting because I was reading a little primer on this recently, and they say when you go to these websites, because there's a new one that is basically a clearinghouse for all these places, I'm a little suspicious of that, and they say, look, do you have, Mike, to be honest with you, you're the perfect example, the spelling of your last name. Somebody could make a mistake, right? It's not like Miller, right? You could potentially be in that database and not find it because maybe somebody made a minor error in the way your name was spelled. I mean, there's actually a list out there of different things you should do instead of just putting in, you know, your name. And look, that you should try variations of the spelling, among other things, to be able to do a more thorough search.
Yeah, that's a big part of the reason why a lot of unclaimed property comes to us, that money that was owed to you was entered incorrectly. And so it's not just your last name. It might be your address. Maybe some company owed you money, mailed you a check, but they mailed it to 132 Willowbrook Lane as opposed to 123 Willowbrook Lane and never got to you. Maybe they had your street name wrong, your town name wrong. And so if you have a last name like Frerichs, I suggest just put your name, last name into the database and see what comes up. Because maybe it was sent to another address, but you might also find a relative of yours you've not talked to for a while, and you can let them know about unclaimed property. You should definitely check for your parents or grandparents, people who have passed away. But if you have a last name like Miller, Tom, there are a lot of Millers in our database. You will be looking for a long time. But who knows? You might find a distant relative while doing it.
I've already carved my money out. I'm good. Treasurer Michael Frerichs. Mike, hey, man, I always appreciate your time. Hope you're well. Look forward to returning to the studio sometime soon.
Tom, you too. I really look forward to getting back down to Illinois when it's safest for us to get out. Hope we can do that soon, though.